hadn't swung a bat more than twice. She did not know me as a ball player. More than anything, my wife knew me as a flawed, sometimes charming, sometimes reckless, drug addict. But on this day, she sat low in the stands on the third base side of home plate to watch me take batting practice on the field with a group of 7 or 8 minor league ballplayers whose agent had brought them to Jack Russell Stadium to get some work before spring training. I was the oddball of the group, the former phenom who hadn't played for nearly 3 years, the one-time legend whose repeated suspensions for drug use had already set a major league record. I bounced around the field like a child, laughing and joking and inhaling the smell of the fresh-cut grass deep into my lungs. This must be what it feels like to be released from prison. The other players looked upon me warily, not knowing how to square my tattoo-filled body and sordid past with the giddy man standing before them. I'd regained most of the 55 pounds I'd surrendered to my crack habit, and I was trying to regain the life I lost along the way. As I prepared to hit, I looked at Katie and smiled. I was attempting to win her back, to reconcile our fractured relationship after so much disappointment and loss. I felt like I was in high school again, trying to impress a girl. The wind blew directly into the batter's box from center field, strong enough to starch the flags in center field. The first few hitters drove low liners to the gaps and deep drives that were knocked down by the wind. To a man, they walked out of the cage muttering about the wind and complaining about how tough it was to hit under those conditions. Katie was over there praying the whole time, worried that I was going to do poorly and somehow decide to give it up all over again. This was a pivotal moment when I decided to put myself out there to salvage a career I had done everything to destroy. I could tell Katie was nervous, and I smiled from behind the batting cage and mouthed the words, "Calm down, it's okay." I hit last, and after a couple of swings, I caught a groove. I was hitting balls all over the field, and more than a few over the fence. The guys milling around the cage stopped their conversations to lean on their bats and watch. This was what I used to live for, not the games or the money or anything else. I lived for the feeling I got when I stepped into the cage and everyone stopped what they were doing to watch and react. I lived to stand in that cage and pretend not to hear what they were saying when the ball rocketed off my bat and carried unimaginable distances. They whispered to each other, saying the same things I'd heard since high school. "The ball just sounds different off his bat. Did you see where that one went? This guy's amazing." It felt good to be back on a baseball field, and it felt good to be feeling good. I can't overstate the lightness it created in me to wake up with a clear conscience and go to bed the same way. Every day was progress, building my body up instead of tearing it down, and taking each day as a gift from God. It seemed like this gift, this special gift to play this game, hadn't abandoned me after all. When I finished hitting, the first thing Katie said was, "I felt sorry for those other guys." "Why is that?" I asked. "Because they're not very good." "Sure they are," I said. "They're all professional players. Some of those guys will be in the big leagues someday." "Well," she said, completely innocent, "compared to you, they aren't very good." I turned my head and looked at her out of the corner of my eye as if to say, "What'd you expect?" That was the moment it dawned on her. All those things she'd heard about my ability on the baseball field, all those things pro scouts said about me when I was the number one pick in the 1999 draft, all those things that made the Tampa Bay Devil Rays give me a record $3.96 million bonus out of Athens Drive High School in Raleigh, all those things were true. They were every bit as true as the nightmares she had lived with me, her drug addict husband, ever since we got married. Her jaw dropped open for a moment as the realization struck her. I could see her running it through her head. What she had just witnessed, coupled with the torment of the past 2 years. She clenched her jaw and play-punched me in the shoulder. "I'm glad I didn't know this before now," she said. "If I'd have known you were throwing away that kind of talent, I would have been so much angrier with you." Chapter 1. The man watched silently, his arms crossed. He sat directly behind home plate, halfway up the concrete bleachers, a lone figure in the